Simon Reish Chav Zayin Sif Beis. So we're talking about the halachas of making a bracha on thunder and lightning. And we say, Kol Zman Shelo Nispatzu Ha'avim, if the clouds have not broken and dispersed, so a person made a bracha on the thunder and the lightning, and the storm continues, so Niftar B'Bracha Achas, so that one bracha will work, but even though the storm lasts for hours, the bracha that he made at the beginning of the storm will work for the rest of the storm as well, the bracha on the thunder or the bracha on the lightning. However, in Ispazru, Bein Borok the Borok, Bein Ram the Ram, Tzarek Lasser the Borok. But if the clouds have passed and the sky became clear, and then later on it became cloudy again and there was a new storm with new thunder and new lightning, so the bracha which he made on the thunder and lightning from the first storm does not work for the second storm. Okay. So the Mishavura in Sif Katan Ches, Nispazru. So when we say that the clouds have dispersed, it means, Stavka Hechosh HaShamayim Nitaru Mizaku Lagamri Bein Borok LaBorok. We're talking about that the sky cleared totally, so the first storm has totally went away, the sky has become totally clear, and then later on a new storm comes, so the bracha you made in the thunder and the lightning in the first storm doesn't work for the second storm. And then the sky cleared totally, and then it became overcast again, and there was a new storm with thunder and lightning. Then you need a new bracha on the second thunder and the second lightning, because that's considered a totally new situation. Even though the wind has moved the clouds some in one direction and some in another direction, so you feel like the sky is, those clouds are going away, but if overall the rekiah is still cloudy, then we do not consider, even though it might have stopped raining, but since the sky is not cleared, it's still considered that same storm. If later on it starts to thunder and lightning again, the bracha he made at the beginning of the storm for the thunder and the lightning will also work for the later thunder and lightning, because there is no real interruption between the two events. It's only if it became totally clear in between, and then it came overcast a second time. Okay. Now, Mashu Rishami, so that, now at first glance, just based on what we're saying, this would be true even if it was over multiple days. If there's this storm system which comes and settles over the area and it stays cloudy for 3 days, you made a bracha at the beginning of the storm system, and that's it for the next 3 days. However, the Rishami says not like that. This halacha, that the bracha that you made earlier works for a later storm, that's all talking about, it's the same day. But if it's a new day, even though it's the same storm system, so if the storm system came, it settled into the community on Monday, and he made a bracha on Monday and thunder and lightning, he goes to bed, he wakes up in the morning, and it's still, the storm is still there, the skies have not cleared, so it's the same storm system. But if there would be thunder and lightning again on the next day, he'd make a new bracha, then each day it gets its own bracha. So the scenario I gave, we look at that as a separate day, because he went to bed, he wakes up in the morning, it's a new day, even though halachically it was night today, and as halachically it's all the same day, but as far as he's concerned, he ended one day of endeavor. He wakes up in the morning, it's a new day of endeavor. So the same way he makes a new bracha as a shachar, he would make a new bracha on the thunder and the lightning. Okay. Now, what about if the person's up the whole night? That's a little more complicated. So that they bring over here in the Moshav Dirshu, that's a machlokes. So the Oz Nibiru has a suffix. and Rav Moshe Sternberg holds you don't make a bracha, and Rabbi Yashiv and Ladvin Chaim B'chaim Yashiv and Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky hold that you do make a bracha. Okay. What about the following scenario? Hoya Yoshev B'sikise B'shama Kol Ram Oyroa Barok. The person's in the B'sikise and he cannot make a bracha in that situation where he is. And he hears the thunder or he sees the lightning. By the way, seeing lightning, you don't have to actually see the actual
bolt
of lightning. Thank you. Even just a flash of light, the fact that it gets light, that's also enough to make the bracha on it. So he's in a situation where he's witnessed the lightning and the thunder, but he's not able to make a bracha. So is he able to make a bracha afterwards? If he's able to leave where he is, which is a place you cannot make a bracha, and quickly, you know, clean himself off and make a bracha after the thunder of the lightning. It's a long roll of thunder. He hears it right away. He runs out right away, and he's able to wash his hands off, and make the bracha right away. So then you should do so. And if by the time he gets out, however, it'll be after his kedibur, then you can't make a bracha anymore. The bracha has to be said kedibur of the experiencing of the lightning or the thunder. So, Mr. Burra, how you should basically say, said cotton test, what did him how you be base, the Baisha Makatsu by Bosser, the Shomrech Mupishmah, he was working in the butcher shop and the base of Shkita, where you have all of this putrid, rotting meat. He was walking through the alleyways which are dirtied by animal droppings, etc., to the point that you can't make a bracha there. It's not considered a proper place to make a bracha. He's able to run out of there quickly to a clean place and make the bracha. So if he could do that and catch the bracha, if he's able to do that, he should do so. Now, what about the following question? We know that a person who has an urge to go to the bathroom, he's not supposed to make brachos. So here we have this conflict. He went to the basic kisa, let's say he hadn't relieved himself yet, so he has his urge. And now he wants to run out and make the bracha, but he's making the bracha while he's in that state that we're not supposed to make brachos. So we differentiate in the following. There are two stages in that which a person has an urge to go to the bathroom that he can't make a bracha. One is he has an urge. So a person is that in that stage, that's only a Siddur Rabbanan. So the Chomim, because of this, over here is a bracha which is passing by. If you don't do it now, you might lose the bracha totally. They allowed him to make the bracha under those circumstances. Aleph. Beis, there's a person gets a point where a person has a very, very strong need to use to go to the bathroom. So in that situation, a person cannot make a bracha. He's even bidiyah, but he can't make a bracha. So we say, he'll lose the thunder and lightning. He can't make a bracha like this. So he won't say bracha on the thunder and lightning. He cannot make a bracha under these circumstances. She said like this. So Yeh Sherman, the feeling he lost his zohar. He felt an urge to go to use the bathroom. He becomes welcome because Mishum Baltishak. So he hasn't reached the state in the law that's considered that you're acting in a way which is meis to do that, ignoring your urge. So Yochel Lotzis Misham Kadem Shasatzrocha Velavorik. So that's a some argument. But Yeh Shmachrim says some say no because I'll never. There's an issue about it to say a bracha, but you need to use the bathroom. So I'm sorry, you lose the bracha. Proud hech the mashar sheishim oid kol ram v'yochol v'rachach. Kach v'vali nochol l'hachmer. So if you believe it, the storm sounds like it's going to continue. So you will not make a bracha on this thunder. You make a bracha on a later thunder, a later lightning. What's his l'vorach? So now he's coming out and making a bracha. What about his hands being clean? So Mishabur gives a few scenarios. He'll be making this bracha, and his hands are being clean.
What?
His hands have to be clean.
Oh, okay.
So there'll be a few possibilities. Haino hecha shalo osat tzrach. He didn't use the bathroom yet. V'lanoga b'yodah mokum b'tinah. Because he hasn't touched any part of his body which is normally covered, which is considered to be a place which generates a dirty type of a state of being in his hands. The person walks into the basic kisa, even if he did not touch anything and not do anything, you have to wash your hands after going to the basic kisa. Because there's a certain spiritual tumor there which you want to remove from your hands. So that's a separate issue. That doesn't preclude you from saying a bracha. what precludes them from saying a bracha is that there's a dirty state of actual physical dirt on your hands, or physical the type of items which are uncomfortable to have in your hands. So that's what would generate your chemical bracha. There's another bracha, because of spiritual tumma, you have to wash your hands, but that will preclude you from saying a bracha. Okay. So the hands were not physically clean, so then you would have to wash your hands. Where the case was that the roll of thunder was long enough that he felt he could come out, wash his hands very quickly, even though he didn't dry them yet, he could just wash them. Or at least if he can't wash them with water, he could rub them against some type of a surface which would take off any feeling of dirt which is there. So in that situation, but if that's not the situation, where he has water immediately available, so by the time he gets the water and washes his hands, and his hands are dirty, he can't make a broch anyway. So what's the rush? It's not just you may leave, you should leave. You should catch the brachas by if possible. However, by the time he gets out, there'll be a time lapse from the end of the thunder or the end of the lightning till he makes the bracha, longer than the time of Kedei Dibur, which is about a second, a little over a second, not very long. If it's going to take longer than that, so you can't make a bracha anyway. It's too late to make the bracha. Saying sarach shuv lamar, so you have no reason to run out of the bathroom. When he calls an issue with the shir bracha, shall ramim of brachim who kadaf kadei dibra. So we see very clearly that the time that the chachamim allowed the person to make the bracha on thunder and lightning has to be immediately after the thunder or the lightning has started, within the time of kadei dibra, which is about a minute, 1.2 seconds. Not very long time. So a person has to start the bracha. You don't have to finish the whole bracha that time. That would be quite an accomplishment. Right? But the person has to start the bracha within that, very, very immediately after the thunder or lightning, he hears it. If he has heard thunder, and he wasn't really thinking, he says, oh, that was thunder. So the time he says, oh, that was thunder, it's ready after Kedei Dibur. It's too late to make the bracha. It's more than Kedei Dibur, the time he saw the lightning or heard the thunder. Shuv lo yivarech al ram ubarak hazeh. You will not make a bracha on this thunder or lightning. It's too late. Mitam zehecha shosu tzrocha benot ha-yodah b'shama kar ram urab barak. Person went to the bathroom, person came out, washed his hands already, and then there was thunder. So we say normally you should right away make the bracha of Asher Yatzar, but over here, if he says Asher Yatzar, he'll lose the bracha of Oysama Sebereshis, or the bracha of Shekhachag Bursim Alei Olam. He'll lose the bracha on the thunder and the lightning if he waits after the Asher Yatzar. So Yivarach Betchila Al Aram, Baruch HaKachach Yom Asher Yatzar. So what's the Kiddush over here? Even though we have a general rule that something which is said more commonly or done more commonly takes precedence, so Shayat Sarv using the bathroom is a more common bracha than the bracha on thunder or lightning. So normally, if I would say I have a matchup between the two, the bracha of Shayat Sarv going to the bathroom would take precedence, which would go first. But we say not that, because if you wait and say the bracha of Shayat Sarv first, you're going to end up losing the bracha of the thunder or lightning totally. That you shouldn't do. So you say the bracha of thunder and lightning first. So we said before that person's hand, he's not aware of any type of this layer of zuum, of this the repulsive type of liquid on his hands, etc. So he can assume his hands are clean and he's allowed to make a bracha. Shmonesri, he should wash his hands before him. But for regular brachas, a person can assume his hands are clean unless he knows otherwise. Okay, I just want to point out one or two things over here. So what about the case where he saw the lightning and then immediately he heard the thunder, Tekel Dibur of the lightning. And then he says the bracha, Tekel Dibur. So that bracha really would go on both, because that means it was the event was thunder and lightning, and he's making bracha on both of them. Let's say a person, you know, saw lightning. Says, "Is that lightning?" Or lightning, right? And they spoke in between. So forget about the time lapse. He has a half second deeper. He spoke in between the lightning and the bracha. That's not a problem. It's not like a halacha that you have by food that you can't interrupt between the bracha and the food. Or by mitzvahs, you cannot interrupt between the mitzvah and the bracha and the mitzvah. Over here, the bracha is set on the phenomena. The phenomena, the fact that he spoke in between is not going to be considered a hefsek. Even something which is not about the bracha.
So why the difference? Make a mosi. If you don't have salt, you can ask for salt. So why isn't it with lightning the same thing? If you're asking,
no, that's the thing. Even something which says, "Oh, Yaakov, it's not only because it was something relevant to the bracha." The example I gave was not a good example. The point I was saying is there's no din of hefsek. You're right. In a case it would be, you know, trying to clarify what it was, that would probably be even much better. You're right. An interesting shadow which we didn't touch on when we learned the beginning of the siman. You know, the Shulchan Aruch gave us the zikim. And the Sa'aretz, Brachim, Ra'amim, he gave all these different things. We'll see the Bracha in the next time. We'll talk about the Horim, the Yamim, the Horus. The Chazal gave a Bracha.
Midboris,
I didn't say that, but that's another example, right? So we'll see that the Chazal gave us his Bracha to make on many different scenarios. Chazal didn't give it on certain ones. Is that the, are we supposed to take this as a general rule and assume the Chazal meant that as well? Or would we take what Chazal said specifically and that's it? So, an eruption of a volcano.
Quarring.
Eclipse.
Or a solar eclipse. Geysers. Right? There's other things which Chazal didn't speak about. They didn't say yes, they didn't say no. Now, solar eclipses they know about. They talk about leaking, because Mar talks about leaking Kham. It wasn't they didn't know about it. Right? So. Likui Kham. Right. Mar, you had it in the Sukkah in the second paragraph. There's four reasons why the chama is lokos. Chama is lokos. It comes lokos. Rashi mentions in the Chumash, right? So Chazal knew about it. So do we assume that Chazal, you know, it's not any more or less of an event which would cause this type of reaction in people's mind? On the other hand, Chazal didn't mention it. So how do we look at that? So this seems to be a machlokes in the modern day poskim. Rav Osner assumes that these are examples, and that anything else of that sort would accomplish the same thing. That's what Rav Osner seems to assume. And but the disciple was asked specifically in regards to an eclipse. He said, "You don't make a bracha. There's no bracha on an eclipse." So, give you another example, which you're going to see now in the next siman, is a waterfall. Do you make a bracha on a waterfall? So now, you make a bracha on a river. We're going to see that bracha, you only make a bracha on the river if it is in its original channel as it was at the time of my separations. And since most rivers we don't know that because the path the rivers meanders and changes over time. So generally you don't make a bracha on a river because you don't know. So I go to Niagara Falls. So if I'm making a bracha on the river, I have no. Matter of fact, we know that they tampered with the river. You know they've done major things, you know, to the river itself. They've diverted some of it to a channel for water. They've bolstered the falls because the falls are eroding away the cliff. You know, there's been shifts. Right? But if the bracha is on the waterfall itself, the waterfall is the waterfall, right? So my understanding is that, you know, the Chazal gave these examples, and that's it. I mean, Chazal knew about waterfalls. They knew about banyas. They didn't know about these things.
But more
never, and more never talks about making a bracha on these things.
What are banyas?
It's the it's a series of waterfalls in the north of Eretz Yisrael.
It's not like Birchas Gomel, where it's wider, not just the fourth.
Right. Over here, that, well, even that there is a machloek, because there are some that hold dafka those four. But we assume that, you know, but there it's a goyim. Over here, Chazal came along and said, "Civilization." They make this list. You know, you give me 8 examples. Mm-hmm. You might really all, and the 9th also. Like, you know, you give me 1 example, okay? You give me 8 examples. The more it says in general, you start making a list. The more things you add, mm-hmm. the more it seems to be exclusive. Mm-hmm. Right. So that seems to be the question. Okay. So Simon, so that's a question which is relevant to Simon Reish Chavzayin, but the case of, you know, like we saw, but there were 2 explanations of what Zikim were. We accept both of them. Ruchah Shenoshel Bezav, you know, we're making bracha on that, right? Fine. Simon Reish Chav Ches. Birchas Yamim in the Horus Yehorim Ugvois. A Yamim in the Horus Horim Ugvois Mi Boris. So on rivers, on Yamim, seas and rivers, mountains, hills, deserts, Omer Berchot Hashem Alekhenu Melech Olam Oseh Maaseh Bereishis. So you make a bracha Oseh Maaseh Bereishis. And these are not because the event is an event which reminds us of Maaseh Bereishis, because the item is an item which is there for Maaseh Bereishis. So that's why you make the bracha on that. But while Yama Gadol, Chazal gave it its own special bracha. It says in Oseh Maaseh Bereishis, they gave it a special bracha. Now what is Yama Gadol?
Is it any ocean?
V'u'ayam sh'avim b'ay l'eretz Yisrael l'mitzrayim. So the Shulchan Aruch seems to read it referring to the Mediterranean. The Yamagol is referring to the ocean, or the sea that you're going to pass to get to Mitzrayim and enter Eretz Israel. So that's the Mediterranean. According to Shulchan Aruch, it's the Mediterranean. So the bracha over there is not Oseh Maaseh Bereishis. There you say, bracha to Hashem Malkeinu Melech Olam, Oseh Hayam HaGadol. Okay.
What's a midbar? Midbar. Is it only a desert with sand, or is it a place that's uninhabited?
No.
Antarctica, the jungle.
No, it's not a question. It's a question which is inhospitable due to the lack of vegetation.
Oh, okay.
It's not Dafka sand. But
Antarctica.
Antarctica, I'm not sure, but you know, you would have south, you know, New Mexico and these places. There's not sand there necessarily, but it's rocky terrain, but it's mm-hmm. it's desert. Okay. Oseh Maaseh Bereishis, Pirish, Meshabura. Keep me your salt in the mail. Rosh, put these in place as of the time of Maaseh Bereishis. Meshuchah Shemalkam Ushuk, Shonam Makir Mayoyim, Dobre Shein, Ono Yoidim, Shemalkam Ulbro, Meseh Bereishis, Vadayan Hukayim. Here we have something which has been here from the time of Maaseh Bereishis and it's still there. That reminds us of the original Bria, and that's, we praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu for that. So it's not the same thing as opposed to seeing experiencing these extraordinary events of of a storm, where it's not, the storm hasn't been around for the last 5,700 years. The point is, it reminds you of the type of events which were there at Maaseh Bereishis. Here we're talking about an item which is there for Maaseh Bereishis. The Molei Olam means that the sounds, the lights, they expand. Over here, it's in its place. If you're there, you're there. You're not there. So Shekhachah Baruch Hu Molei Olam is not the appropriate bracha. Appropriate bracha is Oseh Maaseh Bereishis. Okay, fine. There's an argument over here that the Maaseh Bereishis brings that we can argue that if the point is that there's a trend of Shevet HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we see this type of thing, so when a person experiences it, the person is able to see, you know, like, you know, a little sliver of the yam. It looks like some water. So he goes further and further and further. He sees, wow, this major expanse of distance of water, you can't see the end of it. So that arouses the person's hispilus. The person sees a little sliver of water, it looks like a little river to him. He's only seeing a little sliver. Would you make a bracha in that situation? She brings over here for a vazner that you should say without Shem Malchus, but he brings over Yashiv that no, Chazar must be to make a bracha.
If a person sees it through a telescope or a binoculars, he's only able to see it at a distance. But if he's able to get a feel of the presence of the reality by looking through the telescope or the binoculars, he would make a bracha. Okay.
How could you only see a little sliver of water to the ocean?
And what'd you say?
But the same thing holds true, like if you saw it like from like a plane or something like that.
Yeah, so it's interesting. The person deal with it, if a person would see, look that he's flying over the Grand Canyon or the mountain or the Rockies, you know. So if he's flying high, you don't really get the feel of the mountains. You know, it looks like mountains, you know, it doesn't really look at too much. You have a plane which is flying low and it's flying into the canyon, you know, like a helicopter or something of that sort. Yeah, you make a bracha. But the plane's flying, you have a flight to Los Angeles and you look down, oh, there's the Rockies. You wouldn't make a bracha. Because you're not really in a spall. You make it with Sheikh Bashar Malchus at most. You're not really experiencing the mountains.
Right.
Okay. Okay. So you make a bracha. So why is it called Yam HaGadol? It's not the largest. If it's talking about the Mediterranean, it's not the largest sea which exists. Because Mnecha Shivusha Shal Eretz Yisrael, because it is connected to Eretz Yisrael, and that's why it's called Yam HaGadol. Now, Abul Harbar Karim Pligel Makarba Sila the Lafka Yal Yam Okyonus, the bracha of. Oh, it says Yam HaGadol is not referring to the Mediterranean, it's referring to the Akyonus. Shua Yam HaGadol Shemachol HaYamim Shemakev is Kol HaOlam. That's the ocean which goes around the world. Allah Kama Bracha Bifnei meet Mei Godloi. So that gets its own special bracha. Avol Yam Shabrim Aleret Yisrael, a person goes over the Mediterranean. Lo Nikol Yinzeh Yam HaGadol Bracha Allah Kamoi Al Shar HaYamim. You make on it the regular bracha of Oysa Masei Bereshis. So we have a machloikis, according to the Shulchan Aruch, that on the person would see the Atlantic, he would make Osa Masa Bereshis, and on the Mediterranean he says Osa Yam HaGadol. And according to these other Akkadim, on the Atlantic you say Osa Yam HaGadol, and on the Mediterranean you say Osa Masa Bereshis. So whatever you do, you're wrong, basically.
Rabbi Zach.
The Kol HaBrachas Eilu Einan Ela Kesharoya Oysan Mishlashim Yom, Mishlashim Yom. These brachas are, if a person's seen the yam within 30 days, he would not make a bracha next time he sees it. If a person has not seen the yam in 30 days, so he would make a bracha. Now, the Shulchan Aruch language is oisayam hayam agadol. He, Brasha, makes, it's in the present tense. Chen loshan atura, abu kamachar, poskim etiku, nusach bracha zubu loshan ovar, shosas hayam agadol. Instead of saying that Brasha makes the yam agadol, Brasha made the yam agadol. So it should be said in Lashon Avar, not in Lashon Hovet. That so now regards to Horim and Gvos, it's an interesting question, like how tall does a mountain have to be or a hill have to be that's considered that you make a bracha on it. In other words, the fact that it includes Horim and Gvos, the Gvos by definition are much lower than just hills. So you don't need this phenomenal height to make the bracha. So I just saw somebody give a psak that noticed today. I didn't think about it. I was the you go down below and you can see the hills by Rosh HaNikra. Mm-hmm. So he said you should make a bracha. It's not worse than a hill. I mean, like the whole thing is like 200 feet tall, 300 feet tall. You know,
I don't. Yeah,
it's not that tall. You know, and he was saying I was very like surprised that's it. He said that it's close. It's not worse than a it's a givo. Right. So I mean, you walk around Yerushalayim, you should make a bracha. You know. So I'm not sure where you draw the line. The Maisa. Okay. So now,
The Shulchan Aruch says, "Law called Naharis Mavarich El Al Arba Naharis Tiksimi Bikroy Sif Beis." You don't make a bracha on all of the rivers. You don't make a bracha on the rivers which are mentioned, the four rivers which are mentioned in Parshas Bereishis. Kamachideko Luparas, the Euphrates and the Tigris and the Euphrates rivers. And you have to see them in a place which you know has not been tampered by man. So they're still in the original riverbed. Okay. So comes along the Mishabur, and the Mishabur says, these four. Any other river which has, and it brings over here, the Magabram proves this for many Paiskim, it's El Yerab and Agra as well. It's Lav Dafka, these four. Any river which have that would have the same type of power, like the you know, impression upon you. She Yudum, Shem, Mimei Bereshis, Kama Elu, Veloni Sabach, Akach, Mavorach. But you have to know that this river has been around since my Sibereshis. So much of the Paiskim handle making Bracha the Mississippi. You go to see the Mississippi. The Mississippi is a mighty river. The person sees the Amazon and he sees the Nile. I mean, these are mighty rivers, especially towards the end. I mean, the Mississippi is a mile wide. It's a yam of water, literally, you know, going down there. But do we know for sure it was in the original place where it was originally? The Pashas that moved. So they suggest saying it without Shem and Malchus, according to some Paiskim. So if the further upstream is still at an original place, you can make a bracha. Lower downstream, they diverted the river to a different course. So there you don't make a bracha, but it doesn't preclude you from making a bracha on the area further upstream, which is still pristine in its original state. Lower down, Shamalav my separation. So, Vanya Rabba, Shuzalum, the Imsafik lo, Imnishtano, Gamken lo Yavor. If you're not sure, don't make a bracha. The Prima Godim says, you're allowed to assume unless you, that it was not Nishtano, unless you know otherwise. So, I have a right to assume that it's in the right place, and I have a right to assume make a bracha. Ayere Adam, this is moved through man's intervention. If you were there was two large bodies of water near each other and they dug it out, made it into one, so that area is not part of the original yam, but we're not machiv to be kosher with that possibility. I mean, we assume that probably that's not the situation. Okay. Okay, Sif Gimel. V'lo yakol ha'horim gavos mavarach el adavka ha'horim gavos mashunim and nikaris gavuras habari behem. It has to be that the river, the mountains, and the hills are large enough, and to the point that a person is overwhelmed by it, and he sees the gavuras habari for seeing it. A person goes to see the Grand Canyon, right? So he's affected by it in a tremendous way. There's a very strong experience of it. There's, he may make a bracha, it's not separations. That's why I'm saying that would be very surprising to me that on this 200-foot mountain, I guess he holds it just, people are suddenly small from the impact of it. Okay, let's hold it here.